Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Did you feel God smile this morning?
Yeah.
I felt Him smiling this morning, and I felt Him smiling over me. I didn't feel Him smiling over y'all. Did you? Yeah, He was smiling over everybody. Listen to this. You know, you remember this thing about the seven Hebrew words for praise? The teaching that, you know, that we gave on that seven Hebrew words of praise. I want you to listen to this. Yada. Do you think we yada today? It means to lift up your hands and be thankful to God for what He's done. Did that happen today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Toda means to extend your hands, to say the same thing and give thanks to God for what He is going to do. How many of you are looking for what God's going to do? Not just what He's done. Absolutely. He's still working. He's still doing it. Listen to this one. Shabak. It means to shout and to address God with a loud voice like a trumpet. I wonder if we did that today. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hallel. To rave, to boast, to celebrate, and to be clamorously foolish, to radiate and to shine. You've been shining this morning. You know, this thing about, to be clamorously foolish. Surely you can't do that in church. You do that in the Bible because that's what that word means. And it's okay to do that when it's time to do it. Amen? Barak, to kneel, to bow, to bless, to salute, and to give God place. Did you give Him place this morning? Did we give? Absolutely. Here's one. Tehillah, not tequila. Tehillah, a spontaneous song of the Spirit, to lift up in the Spirit and sing a song from the heart. We do that this morning? Absolutely. Zamar, to touch the strings and to play the instruments with singing and dancing. Was that done this morning? All seven words for praise were exhibited this morning in His presence. Listen, when we're full of the praise for Him, He smiles over us, not just because of who we are, but because what we're demonstrating in our behavior. Unashamed.
Amen.
Unashamed of who He is and who we are in Him. Amen. Give God praise. Blessed be God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a great day to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Even though it's raining outside, it don't matter. It's still good. It's still good. The first thing I want to do, I want to ask if we have any visitors in the house. Any visitors? Do we have any visitors? Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, you could have gone anywhere, but you came to Father's Vineyard, and we're glad that you're here. So at the end of the service, our pastor would like to meet you at the back with a gift and just introduce himself to you. And once again, we're glad you came in to break bread with us this morning. Thank you very much. Give him a hand, guys. Yeah. The first thing I want to talk about is the Echo Student Ministry fundraiser. Today, if you look at the bottom of your newsletter, you see that there's a tear-off down there. Today is the last day for this. Today is the last day to order, and it is also the last day to pay. So if you're going to be a part of that, today is the day to do that. And I know those guys appreciate everybody that's partake of that and helping our students being able to go on this trip. It is vitally important. The next thing is Coffee Sessions. They're starting a new lesson titled At the Feet of Jesus. And it starts May 12th. And Mike Duncan is going to be teaching that and everything. So show up and let's get some bread broke for that. The next thing on the list is Wednesday night Bible study. The time has been changed to 6:30 p.m. Everybody say 6:30.
6:30.
Wednesday. All right, don't come at 6 o'clock. You know, that's a good time. Go get some chow, you know, hang out for a little bit. Yeah, I'm sorry. I still call it chow. The kids at the school be looking at me, Mr. Joyner, what are you talking about? Lunch, food, chow. That's just part of that military thing I can't get rid of. They've drilled it into me so hard. But this is my favorite one. I like all of them. This one right here is my favorite one. All the men in the house go, woo woo! Yes, I tell you, our last several men's meetings have been awesome. We've had a great turnout. You know, we've just been breaking bread, and I believe we're at a point where, as men, we need to come together. So this upcoming Saturday, May 11th, we have a guest speaker coming out named Fred Statton. And Chaplain Logan told me about him, and he sent me a little bit of his information. And, you know, this is a guy who started out working for the prison system and wound up being in the prison system. The very thing that he was working for, somewhere along the line, he got off track and he wound up having to go to prison. But he did not see it as a bad thing, because if you go to the Vineyards Men website, Facebook page, or if you go to the the men's website, you'll see a little bit on the flyer that I posted there about his testimony. And this is a man who saw that as an opportunity for God to take something that was bad and use it for his good. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand, and this is something that we talked about at our last men's meeting, that everything we go through is not for us. And if God brings us out of it, he wants us to take those experiences and share them. A lot of our young people are going through what they're going through because we're not willing to share what we've gone through. So I always try to create opportunity that spend elementary when I get the opportunity. I can't tell the young guys everything, but I kind of share my life with them and some of the things I've gone through so that they understand the walk that they're walking is not a new walk. And they don't have to fall down the pitfalls that we fell in if we are just willing to share. Now, they have to be willing to listen and accept, but we have to be willing to share. And I think him coming out and being willing to share his experiences will help us become better men and help us to be able to teach our young men that everything in life, even as bad as it looks, is not necessarily a bad thing. If you give it to God, God will take that thing and turn it around, and you'll have a testimony that you can tell somebody else that would help them come on out of that darkness. So I'm inviting all the men here to come on out Saturday, May 11th. We usually start eating breakfast and not chow. Around 8:30. I also want to take this out. If you can come and help Greg, you know, he always needs help. We've got a good turnout for that. But if you're free that day to come in a little early and help Greg, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, guys. And now we're going to take this moment. If you will get your offering. Ushers, if you will come down. You know, it's nothing like sowing into the house of the Lord. You know, we sow into so many other things, but we when it comes to the things of God, we sow so sparingly, you know, and sometimes we dread it. We don't mind, you know, giving money for sports games and things of that nature that at the end of the day really don't benefit us. That's my opinion, you know. But I'm not a big sports fan, except if it's karate. Or something like that.
There you go.
Because that's something I used to do and I love it. But you know, when we give this offering, let's give it with a cheerful heart.
Yes.
You know, let's be glad because we know we're going to get something back from it. But we also know that we're sowing into a ministry that's giving so much back. You know, that's helping our youth. That's preaching the word. That's trying to touch the heart, to really get to the meat of the matter. Because we're living in a world, I tell you, Pastor, the more I delve into this politics And I really began to look at it. I'm thinking, man, we're in trouble. We are, as a nation. And I heard a pastor this morning saying that there's two dueling systems, or two dueling voices. He said socialism and capitalism. But he said there's a third voice. And he said that third voice is the church. And if the church will rise up and allow itself to be used by God and get out there and do what we're called to do, man, we're going to make a difference.
Yes.
Church, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It looks dark right now, but the light's here.
Yes.
All we have to do is be willing to get up and go out into the darkness and do what we're being called to do. So I want to encourage you. When I heard that, I said, yeah. So let our offerings be used. Let's give. Let's give. We got to get in this fight. And we're not doing it for ourselves. There's a generation that's waiting. There's a people that's waiting to hear the word, that needs chains broken, that needs to be free. And the church is that voice that's going to do it. Because the other two dueling voices, that's not why they're there. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for pouring into our lives, Father. Father, for touching each and every one of us, Lord God, where we are. For giving us eyes to see, Lord God, and lighting the path that you want us to walk. So, Father, we thank you. And, Father, this offering that we're about to sow, Lord God, we don't sow it grudgingly, but we sow it with a glad heart. Father, we sow it with a praise in our heart, and we're lifting it up to you, Father, because we know you're going to take it and use it for the good of your kingdom, to expand your kingdom, Lord God, and to give us a voice to go out and affect change in the world. So, Father, I ask that you bless this offering, that you use it for the uplifting and the building of your kingdom. And, Father, in all that we do, we want to give you the praise. We want to give you the honor, and we want to give you the glory. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen.
Word from another hand, I tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many can testify? He's been so good. Amen. I tell you, he's a good God, isn't he? Hallelujah. But we have some new family members we'd like to introduce this morning. Would y'all like to meet them? Yeah. Well, come on down. I'm going to ask our new members, if you would, to come down at this time. Amen. Come on, sir, Jesse. Brother Jesse, and I got Carl over here. Amen. And Naomi over here. Oh, okay. Hey. Amen. If you would, just introduce yourself to the congregation. Just give us a name, please. We'll start with
Jesse.
You
pass it down this way. Jesse Bradley.
Scotty Walker.
Carl Wheat.
John Mitchell. Now, we have some more that didn't make it this morning. They will hopefully be back next Sunday. We had one young lady had to work today, so we'll introduce her when she gets here. Amen. But just give these guys a welcome. Father's Vineyard, welcome. Amen. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family. Amen. Appreciate that. Good to be home. Amen. All right. Thank you. Okay.
My turn. Oh, it's good to be here today. I got dressed this morning and got to church, and one of my spiritual sons looked at me and he said, "Hey, Pop." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You missed a loop on the backside of your belt." And I said, "Thank you. I'll go fix that." You know, I'm grateful for correction. Yes. Amen. I'm about to correct this pulpit right here. It's off center. I feel better now, right? God is good to you. And he's good to me. Amen. I want to talk to you today some more about his presence. You know, things seem strange sometimes. People laying on the floors, people running around the church, and her mind goes, but you don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they've been through. And they're unashamed. Amen. Doesn't mean everybody has to, but where they are and what they've gone through, when God breaks through for them. Almost get beside yourself. Let's see, we're supposed to have something up here that's called a clicker. Well, it's empty. Here it is. Here it is. Yep. If we're here, and they've got it all, already got it up for me. Talk to you a little bit about being in his presence, but what we're going to get to today, I hope, is being able to understand how do I practice his presence. Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God, that wrote that book. Powerful little book. But so many of the people today, so many of us in the church have actually forgotten how to practice his presence. Amen. It's true. Amen. And hopefully today you'll be able to re-engage with his presence in a way that you're living out his presence. And we want to make sure that we cultivate that and bring that to a place that we just don't know that he's present or know about his presence, that we know he's present and that we're going to live out what we know. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to live out what we know. You know, we do have a lot of teaching. The church has a lot of teaching. Amen. We're blessed in this house with great teachers of the Word of God. I'm telling you, we really are great ministers, great musicians. We're just blessed. We really are. But so many times we spend so much time in the teaching that we fail to understand how we need to process what we just heard. Everybody say process. Say process. I'm in process. And we truly are. We truly are. None of us have completely arrived yet. But we're going to be talking about being in his presence. We shared some of this the other day or the other week about the omnipresence of God. He's everywhere. He's the indwelling presence is when you have the Holy Spirit inside you upon saying yes to Jesus, saying yes to his sacrifice, saying yes to who he is, and saying, come into my heart and forgive me of all of my sins. You know, because that is when he indwells in you. We are the temple. Everybody say, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a manifest presence where he begins to manifest himself and you can actually see what he's been doing or see what he's actually doing. He manifested in as a cloud and as a fire, you know, for the children of Israel. And, I've had probably about 4 or 5 experiences with angels manifesting themselves to me for certain reasons and for certain applications in my life. Now, I don't go around looking for them, but when they appear, I'm going to acknowledge them. Amen. And some people will say today, well, that don't happen today. Well, it did me. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but it did me. And Hebrews tells us that the angels are ministering spirits to us. They help us and they assist us. But anyway, God dwells in the assembly of believers. He said, if you come together in my name, I will be in the midst. I will be in the middle of what you're doing. You know, so many times, have you ever been in the middle of something and got to looking for God? I have. I've been right in the middle of something. I was saying, you know, I just don't feel his, where is God in all this? He said, you ain't doing this in my name. You're doing it in some else's name, maybe a denomination, maybe it's just somebody else. But you see, my promise is that I'll be in your midst when you're in my name, when this is done in my name, not in your name, not in the name of the church. Say amen. Amen. All right, that's the truth. He inhabits the people of his praise. Now, this is an interesting one. We didn't share this the other week. It said, thou art holy. O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel. That, you know, the word praises, you know which praises that is? Which Hebrew word for praise that is? He said, now listen, you need to understand, this enthroned means to create the habitat for him. In other words, he's not just, he's not visiting. He's going to dwell in that. He's not just visiting. You're not going to just see him and you're going to leave. No, he's going to live. He's going to live in that. Y'all know what praise that is? Does anybody know? That word for praise is Tehillah. He said, when you begin to praise me in the way of Tehillah, then I'm going to have a seat. And I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to be enthroned. Which means to be enthroned means to show forth his power. In the midst of a tehillah,
He said, I'm gonna have a seat. I'm gonna be enthroned in it. And see, he just didn't have a seat. He's gonna sit on the what? Throne. He's the king. So that word that word Tehillah means to what? Anybody remember? It means to what? It means to sing. It's to sing in the spirit, to be able to sing this song that is given to you by the Spirit of God. Now somebody says, well, that means it has to be a song that you don't know. And I said, that's not what he says. It means to be spirit led into what you're about to say without orchestra, about to sing without orchestration. All of a sudden, you just start singing a song. Now, it can be out of your spirit that's never been sung before. The words never came to you. But all of a sudden, down deep, you start just singing, thou art worthy of all my praise. For surely you are good. He says, when that begins to happen, or God begins to put a song inside you that you just start singing, you just start singing it. He said, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to show my power in the midst of that. That's his presence. Well, how do you want to manifest his presence? Start doing some of that. Right? Amen? All right. So that's another way of his presence, his infilling presence. I'm going to skip on to this one. Baptism of the Spirit. Do you know there's a difference? I'm going to teach you just a little bit about the difference between the baptism of the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit. A lot of people think it's the same thing. It isn't. You ready to learn something? Why? Because when we do not understand what we've read, we become unfruitful in our learning. Jesus said, when you begin to have the understanding of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, when you understand the kingdom, your fruitfulness will come forth 30, 60, 100 fold. It's the understanding of the kingdom. It's the understanding of what we know. Not just know things, but it's the understanding of this. So we're going to gain understanding here. Said, and the day of Pentecost had come. When the day of Pentecost had come, they all were gathered together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled. Everybody say filled. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Everybody say filled. Filled. Say filled the whole house. All right. That word filled means, that Greek word is pleru. So I want you to say pleru. 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 It means to be filled, but there's a word that it has a meaning, and we're going to get to that. But then he goes on, he said, it filled the whole house, and they were where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested upon each one of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say filled. Yeah. Say, I think that's a different word. Go ahead and say it. You might not think it, but so just say it. Help me. I think that's a different word. All right. It is. They were filled. That word filled is pletho. It's Greek. It's pletho. Pletho. Peru. Pleru. Pletho. This is pletho. With the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, what is the difference? There is a difference. It's not the same word. The English uses the same word, but the Greek doesn't. That's the reason you need to study to have greater understanding of what the Word of God is telling you. You hear me? Because our English language is so limited that it doesn't give everything that we need. It doesn't give us everything that we need to be able to be saying. But this thing about pleru, this is an excessive, overshadowing, overpowering, overflowing, overwhelming presence. That is when the Holy Spirit came into the room. You got it? He came into the room, and what happened? The room was what? Filled. It was overflowing. It was overpowering. It was excessive. Yes? Absolutely. But see, that word is pleru. That is when your the presence is just so overwhelming. Have you ever been in the overwhelming presence of God that you couldn't stand up? That you knew you had to go to the knees, that you knew you had to bow down, that you knew something was taking place that has gotten your attention? See, that is being filled. Being filled. The place was filled with the Holy Spirit. The room was filled. In other words, there's a manifestation happening of the Spirit of God, and the whole place was filled. And it impacted everybody. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, he distributed the tongues above each one of them. See, another manifestation. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Pletho. Different word for filled here. Pletho. What is the difference? Here's the difference. This is the one that it furnishes you. It completes you. It empowers you. See, the whole thing about Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is they said, Jesus said, you're going to go up there in an upper room and you're going to wait. And you'll be baptized. Amen. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come where? Everybody say upon, not in, upon. Upon you. See, why is he coming upon you? He's coming upon you. That word means to complete, to furnish, to empower you. So he said, the room was filled. It was just filled and overflowing presence. But then what happened? There was another feeling, and it was upon them because it saturated who they were. It saturated who they were. And it empowered them in a way that they were able to, the Bible says that they were able to speak in other tongues. And this means that they spoke in other languages that they never learned, that they did not know. Why would they be empowered to do that? Because there was people from all types of nations coming there, and they needed to hear the gospel. So they were in, whether there was China, people from China there, the people that was in that room had the ability, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be able to speak in that language so they would understand. Y'all with me? Why? Because that feeling, that was upon them. That empowered them. That furnished them. That completed them. At every task you and I have, we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Is that true or not? Because you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. That's the reason we need that. See, it's often taught that, okay, this word used field, it's just like Ephesians. And see, that's the other thing. Ephesians, the filling presence. He said, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What is that? Everybody say, pleru. Why? This thing about feeling, being constantly being filled with the Spirit, is not coming up to the very top rim of the glass and that's it. Nope. It's in excess. It's an overflowing. In other words, when he gets to the top, it just keeps on flowing. It just keeps on coming. It just keeps on coming. Just keeps on coming out. The Holy Spirit just keeps on moving in your life. Keeps filling you. He said, keep on being overpowered. Keep on being in excess of the Holy Spirit. Keep looking for him to just constantly overflow your life. Constantly overflow your life. Yeah. That's his presence. It's not, oh, no, 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 that's enough. No, no, that's about all I need. No, I don't need. No, no, he said, I'm just going to overflow. I'm going to give you who I am in excess. Yeah. Excessively. Yeah. See, this whole thing about this, he says, do not drink of the wine in excess, because it will lead you to drunkenness. Drunkenness is a sin. This whole thing about being filled with the Spirit is talking about drinking of the Spirit of God. It's talking about drinking of who He is. Well, I just want the Word. I don't want the Spirit. A lot of charismatics will say, I just want the Spirit. I don't want the Word. Mm-mm. Can't have one without the other.
So this whole thing about being infilled with the Spirit is constantly being filled. This thing is powerful. Powerful. Because in the process of drinking of Him, drinking who He is, drinking of His presence. See, but if you don't recognize the presence of God being with you, it's hard to drink. You can be drinking of something else. You can be drinking of the world. You can be drinking of the culture. You can be drinking of the pressure. You can be drinking of the things at work. You can be drinking of the things in the office. You can be drinking of that. You can just be drinking. You're just drinking all of this. Why? Because that's what's overflowing you. But see, you can be in all those places and be drinking of the Spirit of God. To play rule. The over. So much is just so much. So much. So much of who He is. So much of His presence. And this thing of the baptism of the Spirit is saying, Lord, I want to be empowered. Because You said in Acts that You would empower me to be able to do and be Your witnesses, which means He will enable you to be His martyr. That don't mean He'll empower you to go hand out a tract. That's not what He said. He empowered you to be able to be His witnesses. That word witness means martyr. In other words, He empowered you that even if it means your own death, you're going to be empowered to do it anyway. Even if it means strong opposition, that it could be the end of a lot of things, you're going to do it anyway because He's empowered you to do what He wanted you to do. Why? Because He wants us to, as it's been spoken already, He wants us to make a difference. You can make a difference. You are making a difference. You're either making a difference for darkness or you're making a difference for light. Either the kingdom or the darkness. And we need to be a people of His presence. We need to be a people that are conscious of His presence no matter where we are, no matter where we're going, no matter what we're doing, no matter what's happening. We need to be conscious, aware of His presence, yes or no. Now, let me tell you something. When you were born again, your spirit was quickened. Your spirit was made alive, yes or no? Yes. Your spirit is alive. Your spirit is in constant contact with the presence of God. Constant contact in the presence of God. It is your soul that is in constant contact with the world. That's the reason our soul needs to be influenced by the overflowing of my spirit. The overflowing of my spirit, when I let the Spirit of God overflow in me, it will flow into my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And then I will, no matter what the world or culture's been telling me, I won't be following the overflowing, overwhelming power of the Spirit of God and not the culture. And not what the enemy wants to give us. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Do you understand this thing about your spirit? You know, He is constantly with you in your spirit. He's there. He's always there. He said, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. He's constantly there. Constantly. How many times do we act? So many times we act as though, God, we need you. Well, He's here. He's here. He's here. Well, and this thing about, you know, people sometimes struggle over this thing about, you know, when we say, well, we sing a song about seeking God, you know. Why do you need to seek God? You've already got Him. See, it's not seeking what you already have. When we start to seek God, it's like you coming into the sanctuary and you're supposed to meet somebody here. And when you come in, what do you start doing? Come on now. What do you start doing? you start seeking. Who are you seeking? They're already here. They're already here, but who are you seeking? You're seeking the presence at this moment. You're seeking him in a different way at this very moment because you need to see what he wants to do about this situation, or you need to see what it is that he wants to bring. So you come in and you begin to look for, and then you say, there's Billy. Why? I was seeking Billy. I was looking for him, even though Billy was already here. Right? See, our soul is being so impacted and so influenced by the culture and everything that it feeds into the soul. That's the reason Paul said you got to be renewed. You have to have a renewing going on constantly. Amen. Why? Because that's the transformation that it brings. Now, how does this thing work? How does this thing really work for us? Did y'all find Hebrews? Okay, let me go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. Listen to this. God's desiring even more to show. He's talking about Abraham and he's given a promise to Abraham. What did promise look for? What was he looking for? What was the promise? He going to have a son. What was he looking for? He was looking for the son. Wow, that was a promise that was given. So he's seeking the very thing that God wants to give him. And then he goes on, he said, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. What is it? When he's dealing with you, he's dealing with you as an heir of promise. Say, I'm an heir of promise. That word heir means I have an inheritance. The Bible says that we're co-heirs with Christ. Yes or no? We're co-heirs with Christ. Why? What does that mean? I've got an inheritance. Yes. When it says, the Lord is my portion, what does that mean? That means your inheritance. Yes. The Lord is your inheritance. The presence of God is yours and my greatest treasure yes. in our entire life. Yes. And yet, we struggle to acknowledge it. Yes. And he wants us to constantly acknowledge his presence. No matter if we're on the job, no matter if we're in the worship service. See, a lot of times we just want to encounter God here. He's saying, no, you bring him. You bring his presence with you. But when you and I and everybody else in here that is born again, we bring the presence of God with. Guess what we're doing here? We're hosting his presence. Yeah. We're coming together and everybody's bringing the presence of God and letting him do what he wants to do. He goes on, he said, so his when he's dealing with me, he's dealing with me as an heir of promise. Have you got that? He's dealing with me as an heir of promise. I'm co-heirs with Christ. Are you? Absolutely, you're co-heirs with Christ. He said he imposed on an earth with an oath in order by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. So if it's impossible for him to lie, guess what you are? I'm an heir of promise. And when he deals with me, he's dealing with me as an heir of promise, as an inheritance of promise. We're one of his own. When he deals with you and I, he's, anyway... He goes on and he says that you may have strong encouragement. Encouragement in what? That I'm an heir. That when he deals with me, he's dealing with the heir of promise. He's dealing with his own. And he said we will go to the refuge and laying hold of the hope that is set before us. And this hope is an anchor. Of what? Your spirit? What does the Bible say? The anchor of your soul. Why does your soul, what is the anchor of your soul? The hope and him doing what he said he would do to me as an heir of promise. Is this making any sense? You know, we think when bad things happen, when we've got big troubles, when we've got all this stuff going on, that we're being punished for something. Let me tell you something. Everything God does is out of relationship. Everything that he does is out of relationship with you. Everything. Why? Because you're an heir. Everything is done out of relationship. Out of his relationship with you. Y'all with me? You know, but we don't understand his presence so much. So when we see this big problem drive up, and it doesn't knock on the door, it just comes on in. Y'all with me? Here's this big problem coming up, and we don't know what to do. And our soul begins to look at everything that's going on. And our spirit, we just need to be looking at our spirit and say, okay, this is overflowing. See, we need to ask, here's how you can practice and cultivate practicing the presence of God. Let's just say you're going through something it's just a big problem. By the way, there's never been a problem without his presence being on it. There's never been a problem without his provision being there for you. So whatever problem you got, his presence is already in it. But if we don't see that, we'll say, the devil may be doing some stuff, but it's allowed by God, and God's presence is right there on top of it. What's he want you to do? What does he want you to do? Acknowledge him. And understand, you know, there's a passage in the Bible that says the presence of the Lord goes on ahead of you. Yes. Goes ahead of you. Yes. Here's how we practice. Oh, this is a big problem. This is a huge problem. This is massive. But Lord, I know you've already gone on ahead of me. Yes. You've already placed your provision. Yes. And the bigger the problem, the bigger the provision. So we need to ask two questions when we start going through things about the presence of God. Number one, we need to ask, what is the meaning of this? What does this mean? Watch this. I got a huge problem here. Huge problem. Our question to God is not why. Our question to God is this. Lord, what does this mean between me and you? What does this mean for me and you? What are you doing? You're including him. Lord, what does this mean for me and you? This big thing that's luminous, what does this mean for me and you? What do I need to see? What do I need to hear? Are you with me? You're committing. Why? Because he's present. So you start talking to him about, what does this mean for me and you? Because he's not going to leave you. You're not going to go through it alone. I'm going to go through this, and I'm going to go through this with you. So what does this mean? What do you want to do for me? By the way, every problem you've got, Darren said it right. It is for others, but every problem you have is for change. And guess who's going to change? Every problem you have is for change. Who's going to change? It's to change us. But we're connected to people that who he has sent us to. So when you change, you impact other people. Just to say you got a temper problem. Somebody said, oops. Let's say you got a temper problem. Well, what's the temper problem for? So you can change. Well, I've got a temper. Yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, does it count when you're driving?
Does it count? Oh, yeah. Everybody answer that for him. Yes. So you got a temper problem. You got this temper, and you all this stuff going on. And that's of the culture. That's feeding your soul. Lord, what is this thing? What's this thing that's irritating me?
What's going on? I'm wanting you to change. I want to make, my whole thing is about relationship with you, son. My whole thing about everything that goes into your life is about me and you having a great relationship. Are you walking? You walking with the fullness that I've already given you. Right now, you're not walking in the fullness because you got this in the way. So I've created this little problem for you. It's little to him. It's huge to you. I've created this little problem for you to be able to change. But the thing is, are you going to allow me to walk with you? Or are you going to try to go through all this yourself? I can handle this. No, you have been. How's that going? Not good. Are y'all with me? Is this making sense? See, this has to be such practical walk with us that it's natural for us to be able to say, okay, God, what does this mean? And once he begins to tell you what this means, your next question is this. You ready for it? Yeah. What must I do to cooperate with you? Yeah. What must I do to cooperate with you? Since we're going through this together, what must I do? When you're not, look, it works this way. To be able to practice his presence. Let's say we've got a huge problem. Let's say I've just got this thing is big. And then I happen to be with Keith or go by Keith and turn up here, Keith. I'm gonna pick on you a little bit. And Keith says, "How you doing, Pastor?
How you doing, Pastor?"
Well, Keith, believe it or not, I got this huge problem. Oh, no. No, yeah, I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about this huge problem. I don't know what God's gonna do, but it's gonna be big. Because every problem I've got a provision. Every problem that I've got, his presence has already gone ahead of me, scoped this thing out, and he's going to show me what this problem's all about. And I'm going to be better for it. This is a huge problem. But I'm excited about this.
Wow, that's encouraging.
Is that encouraging? Do you have any problems? Just say no. Do you have any problem?
No.
You don't have any problems? Oh, I'm sorry.
His provision already has taken care of all of them.
Yeah, but you got some more that's coming. God is faithful. Because he still wants to change you. So he'll bring some problems your way. He's faithful. He'll bring some problems your way just to change you. Just to get you to walk deeper in his presence. You're not walking in the fullness of his presence yet, the depth of it. No. No, so you got some problems coming. But be excited. I tell you what, you can help me in my problem. I'll share my problem with you.
Okay.
That way you can get on some of this and we can share this together and grow together in the fullness of who he is.
That's the way it should work.
That's the way it should work. But on one condition.
What's that?
That when you have your problem, that you call me. Because I want to get in on that problem too. That way I can be impacted and changed by your problem as I help you bear that load.
Wow. As men, we have a hard time with that.
As men, we have a hard time with that. Thank you. But see, that's the way it needs to be. But, you know, we got this, Glenn, stand up. We got this thing that ask me how I'm doing.
How you doing?
I'm not doing too good at all. Man, I've got a huge problem, and I ain't got a clue what we're going to do. I just hate this kind of stuff. Man, everything's falling apart. Everything's going wrong. Just pray for me, man. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just lost. I'm just lost in it. Then all of a sudden, I start whining. I start, nee, 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 nee. And he just picks up on that, and he starts whining with me. It is terrible. I hope you don't ever have no problem like this.
Me
But see, the whole approach, me too. See, the whole approach of this thing about practicing the presence of God, practicing the very presence of who he is I'm not going to go through this alone. And everything that I go through has a purpose. Everything that I go through has a purpose to impact my life, to cause me to change into a deeper realm of who he is and to experience. So that's the reason I said, okay, what's the meaning of this? What do you want me to see? What do you want me? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to stand? How do you want me to think? How do you want me to talk? Why? Because I'm a co-heir with Christ. So I'm able to go through that problem practicing God's presence, acknowledging his presence. Yeah, but this is a big problem. Yeah. Well, Pastor, this is a huge problem. Pastor, this is huge. This is big. This is big. This is massive. How many of you have ever been there? This is massive. This is huge. I don't know what we're going to do. So all of a sudden, you got to think of this. Here's what you got to think of. Well, how big is the one that you're carrying? How big is the person that's traveling with you? How big is the one that's walking with you in the midst of it? Oh, he's much bigger than that. That's just practicing his presence. Practicing his presence. Lord, what does this mean? Engaging his presence in the action of what does this mean? What do I need to learn? By the way, we need to be good learners. We need to be eager to learn. We need to be people that are eager to learn, eager to listen, eager to change. How many of you in here will acknowledge that you need to change? Wave your hand at me. Wave at me. I need to change. You know what you just said? You see my hand, Lord? It's a coming. And you just say, we're going through this together. It's not that you're signing up for it. You already signed up for it when you said yes to Jesus. Amen. Saying yes to Jesus signs you up for change. Who needs to change when you're in the midst of a problem? You do. Not the person that's giving you grief and giving you... By the way, do you know those people that God sends to you that causes... He wants you to change? They're called grace growers. They are sent to you so you that... Why are they sent to you? So you can grow in grace. I mean, you look at somebody and say, well, here comes one of my grace growers. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to respond? I need to grow. I know I need to grow in grace. So here's this situation. I know I need to grow in grace. Right? Grow in the grace of God. Grow in the presence of God. I'm telling you, if we just practice his presence, if we just cultivate it and begin to rehearse heaven, man, here comes a big problem. Well, guess what comes with the big problem? A big God and a big provision. And what's he going to do in all of this big problem? He's going to change me for his glory. He's going to change me right in the midst of all of this thing that's going on. And I'm going to look amazing in my behavior. Are y'all with me? Why? Because he's working on us and we just acknowledge his presence. See, when we don't acknowledge his presence, we're fighting. We're constantly fighting with our flesh and our soul. And our soul needs comfort and needs all this other stuff that it hunts for, another way out, another way. God said, quit standing on those cement blocks. Just depend on my presence. I will uplift you. Just humble yourself before me. I will raise you up. I'll change you. How many of you want to change? Now you're a little bit, y'all are about like this now. A while ago you was like this. Yeah. Now, how many want to change? Give me both hands. I want to change. You know, why is it that we want to change? Because we're not perfect yet. And we want to be like him. I got a passage that I really need to read to you, but if I can get here. Ephesians 5 says this. Now, this is out of the Phillips translation, I think. No, yeah, Phillips translation. Live life. Then in due season, be responsible. Not as men who do not know the meaning of the purpose of life. We need to understand the purpose of life. What is the purpose of my problem? For me to acknowledge more of God's presence and for me to change and be in agreement with God, what he wants me to agree with in this situation. That's his purpose. The purpose in life, as other men do not, but make the best of your time despite all the evil difficulties of the days. Make the best of your time despite of all the difficulties in these days. Don't be vague about firmly grasping hold of what you know of the will of God. Don't be shy about it. Don't be vague. Don't be on purpose. Have this going on inside of you on purpose. Every morning. Every day. Don't be vague about it. Don't forget. Don't get your stimulus or don't get stimulated by the wine. But let the Spirit stimulate your souls. As you begin to be more and more conscious of his presence overflowing in the Spirit of who he is, of what he's doing in your life. God is so good to you. He's never done anything bad to you. He's overflowing with his goodness. God is good to us. He said, hang on to that purpose. Don't exercise, and then begin to express your joy in singing. This thing of overflowing, he said, you're going to be able to express your joy to others in song, in hymns, in spiritual songs. You'll be making music in your own hearts for the ears of God. Thank God for everything. Now, you're going to really have to be in the presence of God to be able to thank God for everything. And to know that whatever comes in our way, the Bible says this over in Romans, he says, for we know that all things, say all things, work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Everything that comes your way is for the good. I didn't say everything that came your way is good. I said everything that comes your way is for your good. He's changing us. This generation that we're talking about reaching, they already know all the words. They've heard them. They're looking for people's lives that's been transformed by the presence of God, and just because you showed up, they can tell the difference. That's the way we're going to reach them. You won't reach them with religion. Listen, you won't reach them with scriptures. You need to hear me. You won't reach them just handing them a scripture. They need somebody to live out the very scriptures that we're giving them. They need somebody to live out in the midst of something going wrong, something going bad, and they need to see the very power of God to be able to live a life full of joy even in the midst of pain. That'll make a difference in a generation. That will awaken them to the very presence and power of God. That's what they need. But see, they're looking for us. They're looking for you. They're looking for me and you. The ones that's going to be awakened to his presence no matter where we are and begin to share life with them. Share life with them. Rehearse heaven in front of them. Heaven is attracted to the Jesus in you. All of heaven's resources is just, you're like a magnet with Jesus inside you. All of heaven is just attracted to you, ready to dump out anything at your disposal that you need to be able to fulfill the very assignment that he's given you. It's just rehearsing heaven, just rehearsing his presence. Amen. That's what he's looking for.
So next time you got a big old problem driving up to your door and it's not a little Volkswagen, it looks like a tractor trailer. You just begin to say, God, I give you thanks. I don't know what's in that big load out there. I don't know what's in that big rig, but it's got my address on it. So I don't know the meaning of it, but I'm asking you, tell me what the meaning of it is. And I don't know what's going to come out, but I'm telling you that I'm going to follow you. Just show me what you want me to do, because I know you've already gone ahead of me and you've seen this thing and you've already put provision out there for me. I just want to get it. And I know it's going to cause me to change. I'm ready for change because I want to glorify you more. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing when those doors open. Because you're with me. Even in the shadow, valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. I'm not going to fear. You're with me. I acknowledge your presence. We'll go through this together. Just show me what I need to do. That's honor of him. That's practicing who is he. That's saying, God, I just need to know. He'll show you. He'll tell you. But don't start looking for the world's ways to get out of it. Get off of those concrete blocks, and they won't have to be knocked out underneath you. Amen. Stand to your feet. Isn't he good? All the time. This last passage, and I'm going to read it to you. You need to hear this. Are you ready? This is out of Jeremiah, and this is for you. This is out of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear or reverence me always for their own good, and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I'm not going to turn away from you to do you good. Him turning away is not going to do you any good. I'm not going to turn away from you, he says, to do you good. But I will put the reverence, the fear, the reverence of God in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. And I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will faithfully plant them with all, this is God speaking, with all my heart and all of my soul. No matter what you're going through, you look at this thing. Lamentation says, the loving kindness of God never ceases. His compassions will never fail. His compassions will never fail. They're brand new every morning. Yes. Everybody say, I got a brand new compassion of God every morning. Every morning I have the compassion of God all over me. Every morning, every single morning. Don't approach this. Don't approach tomorrow when you've got a problem today and you get up the next day. Don't approach that problem with yesterday's compassion. Amen. Approach it with that brand new compassion that he's given you today. Amen. His presence. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. I know he's already here, but I'm looking for what he looks like in this problem. I'm looking for his presence. What does it look like in the middle of this? So, are you ready to rehearse heaven? Yes. You ready to say, yes, God, whatever problem I'm going to face, I'm stopping being a whiner and a complainer. And when I got a problem, when I've got something going on, I'm going to ask him, Lord, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of it? Listen, I've got news for you. The world's problems are not going away. They're not. Matter of fact, they're getting bigger. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes. But so are you. You're getting bigger. You're getting bigger in him. You're able to handle. I'm not, we used to be able to handle the bicycle problems that came up. Well, I've done graduated out of the bicycle and the scooter stuff, man. I'm at the tractor trailer loads now. Sooner or later, I'm going to see trains come to my place. Airplanes is going to fly into my driveway and say, hey, look at this problem. What you going to do now, buddy? Landing right in my, I mean, big old 747 or whatever. Hey, I got a load of problems for you now. Ship loads. What you got now, Pastor? All I know is God told me to be give him thanks. And I thank God that you made it. But what you're about to see is a demonstration of his presence that you ain't never seen nothing like. Because I'm going to talk to him about you even being here. And I'm going to ask him, what's the meaning of it? Why is it here? What is it here for? Give me the meaning. And he's going to tell me what it is. And then I'm going to ask him, well, what do I need to do to cooperate with you? And then he's going to tell me what I've got to do. So everything I do, you're going to see him. So you may want to stay a while or you may want to leave now, whichever one you want to do. I'm done with that skateboard stuff. They got big ones. Oh, now I'm going to start, I'll start Tehillah-ing just a lot. Well, I'm going to sing a song right now in your presence. And guess what? God's going to sit down right in the middle of it and you'll have to deal with him. I like that thing about the armor. But it's just not armor. It's talking about his presence. Why? Because it's his armor. So when it's on you, the enemy sees him. He don't see you and me. So guess what? All this week, we get to practice the presence of God. So you may as well get ready. And if you don't have any problems, call me. I'll share some of mine. Because we're going to change. We're not going to let these problems begin to stumble, cause us to stumble into possessing what God wants us to possess. Now, I got another sermon inside me, but I better hush. Amen. Did you have something? Yeah. Yes.
Something about somebody that had suicidal thoughts.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Be quiet. Be still. Everybody be still.
As I was sitting here in the seat, I felt something hit me in the chest, and it was a spirit of suicide. So if you're having suicidal thoughts, I ask you to come forth. There's nothing wrong with those thoughts. What's wrong is you can continue to entertain those thoughts. Because at times in life, situations come and we have no control, and it puts us in a mindset. So if you're having those thoughts, I ask you to be brave enough to come forth. You will not be judged, but I ask you to come forth and be instead, you're in a body of believers that can help. They're here for us. I've battled these same thoughts at times. And when it hit me, I asked him, I said, Lord, is this me or is it someone else? And he just said, it's someone else in the congregation that's been battling all week long with these thoughts. I asked you to come forth. There's nothing wrong with it. We all have disappointment times. We all have those things, times we're going to give up. But God is with us.
Amen. Amen. Just pray for him.
Hallelujah. God is with us. He goes before us. And he's our rear guard according to the book of Isaiah. Yes.
Amen.
My God.
Y'all go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray for them.
Yes.
And just pray. Just pray over them.
Father God, I come before you right now and I lift up my sisters. I lift them up, Father God. You know the things that's weighing heavy on their hearts and in their minds. And you know how the enemy have attacked their minds, Lord God, and sent spirits of discouragement. So right now we lift them up to you and we release that spirit of discouragement, Father God. And we send it in his feet. Send us to the feet of Jesus, but we loosen to them, Lord God, the spirit of boldness, the mind of Jesus Christ, Lord God, as never before. Let the spirit of God.
Question one, what does this mean?
Jesus Christ from the dead.
And he'll tell you. Question two, what have I got to do to cooperate with you in the middle of this? The problem will change you. And eventually the enemy will stop sending you problems because it's changing you to be more like Jesus.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence, and I ask you now to minister life. We speak life over these two. Life and not death. We ask you, Father, for their mind to be able to grasp who you are and what you have for them, because their future is bright. They are amazing in your eyes. Let them live out the amazement in their behavior as they become more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.